Today is July the 15th, 2022. I'm Jen Widener with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library conducting interviews for Pandemic Perspectives. Southern Indiana residents recount their lives during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. This project was made possible with a grant from the Indiana Genealogical Society. I'm here today with TJ Johan, owner of the Charlestown Pizza Company in Charlestown, Indiana, and her preferred pronouns are she and her. How long has the pizza company been open?
It was 15 years in the spring.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I've never been there. So, do you remember when you first started hearing about COVID?
Yes, actually, we were at work, and I guess it was, I think it was maybe early December or November, and one of the girls that works there said, yeah, it's this kind of strain. It's the COVID-19. The other one was the COVID-17 or something like that. And all I kept thinking was, it's like the flu. They're not going to shut everything down for the flu. Because I guess they were starting, like maybe China was starting to shut down or whatever. So then, yeah, that was the very first time I heard it. And we're kind of like standing at the end of the kind of register bar area in the restaurant. And I was throwing something away in the trash can. And when we were standing there having that conversation. And then.
So how long did it take before the restrictions and shutdown affected your business?
Well, it's really been a roller coaster ride. At first, you know, I was all like, what do you mean? You know, it just didn't make sense. I was like, what do you mean they're going to shut everything down?
That just doesn't make Because it was really unprecedented. We had never had anything in our lifetime that we can remember.
Yeah, and then I thought, well, we won't be able to, like, you know, we're like paycheck business. Like, we won't be able to pay our bills if there's no money coming in. So they were like, but then they were like, no, you can still do carry out and you're going to do these restrictions, you know, you're going to do like the, whatever it was, the six feet distance and, sanitize everything. Cause the first few, I guess maybe the first week or two, we were still open for lunch. And maybe we didn't even have the restrictions in place yet, but I was like Lysoling everything, every menu. And then we were like, no, get rid of the menus. Like, stop touching everything. and then just like sanitizing all the, which I was already in my winter flu protocol with cleaning things like handles and the phone and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just being hyper-vigilant about sick people coming to work and like, you know, that makes me crazy. People are coughing and sick. Just like, then stay home. Like, we don't all want to be sick. Or they'll say, I just got over the stomach flu, and they're standing really close to you. I'm just like, you just got over the stomach flu. Get away from me. Like, seriously. But in the beginning, because everything was shut down and people were afraid to go anywhere, we actually did really good business. And we were like, well, this is fine if it stays like this. And it pretty much did consistently stay like good business because people were staying in town, and then everybody was trying to support, you know, the pizza company because they wanted it to stay open.
Of course, yeah.
And then when everything opened up, we didn't open up because we didn't think it was safe to open up, and we did not want to risk ourselves, risk our customers. So we stayed carry out only for almost an entire year. I think it was until we were vaccinated, till all the main people in our restaurant were vaccinated. We had that little, you know, spring of everybody got vaccinated and the numbers went way down, and we did open up the dining room, and then it's just been consistently terrible. Like, business has just really been consistent, because I feel like people were like, okay, we'll just go sit, you know, we don't want to go to the pizza company anymore because we can't go in and sit down. And there was plenty of people that were mad at us about that kind of stuff. There were plenty of people that supported our decision to keep them safe and keep ourselves safe. And You know, we didn't have too many run-ins with bad customers or complaining about, because we were like, you have to wear a mask, you know, and we did the plexiglass. Once we had the masks and the plexiglass, you were really safe.
You felt a lot safer yeah. being open.
And we weren't vaccinated, and we were in the public the whole time. So we knew the masks worked, and we knew the distancing worked. So, and we had, we installed the lights. And, you know, I guess we have fairly good ventilation system in the pizza company. So we felt like, you know, we did everything we could to keep ourselves safe. And we didn't. We never got. No one in the whole restaurant ever got COVID. I think I maybe now are the only person that in the restaurant that got it, you know, after.
And you don't think you got it from work?
No. I think I got it at the airport. No, that's what I'm saying. We did keep our bubble and you know, we're not like social butterflies, so we weren't trying to go to bars and stuff
right.
after work. We went home. We went to work. We did what we were supposed to do. We stayed in our bubble.
You were being responsible because you knew you had to keep your business going.
Yes, and we knew that, you know, if we got sick and it knocked us out for a couple of weeks, that would really affect, you know, because business wasn't that great already, so. But, yeah, it's just like we kind of got this little, you know, great burst in the beginning. And then it's really just been consistently like up and down. And then when all the prices went up, it's like whatever good days you have is just still not enough to get you to where you need
to be. So you don't think you've fully recovered from...
No, and I don't think we will. And actually, as a matter of fact, we've decided to close in September.
Well, I guess I better get there before September.
Yeah. We're hoping somebody will take it over, but we just can't do it anymore. And we just had to basically fire our kitchen staff. And so it's like, it's just one thing after another. The computer system is going to be obsolete. That's, you know, thousands of dollars to put in a new one and then reprogram everything. The costs of the food is not really going down. Things like the gloves and that sort of stuff.
The extra stuff that you weren't.
Yeah, that's kind of come down a little bit. But the gloves, for a box of gloves, was, I think it was like $350. And you have to have them. And that was like for a case, not for a box.
I was like, wow, a box, that's really
no, but,
a case.
But that case used to cost $60. Mm-hmm. So
do you think a lot of businesses are seeing the same thing?
Oh, yes. And I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of things. It's, you know, it's our location. It's already hard to have a business like that in a small town. And even though that Charlestown's growing, it's not enough. And then it's consistently, you know, since we've lived there 20 years, it's consistently grown. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is that, you know, you have to get support from outside Charlestown. Nothing is just...
Right, yeah.
You know,
and you're not in your just little Charlestown bubble.
Yeah, and the more, you know, things open, that's, you know, more competition for somebody to go the other way as opposed to coming that way, which we have plenty of customers that come from the Knobs and Shelbyville and, you know, E-Town, you know, crazy places to come eat at the pizza company, you know, all the time. But, you know, getting the people on my street to eat at the pizza company is a different story.
So. Yep. Yeah. So what are some things that you have learned from the pandemic?
Well, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Like, outside of my business, a lot.
What are some highlights of things you've learned?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I think, I mean, we believe in science, so we really like, you know, there was all this like thought of like the mask doesn't work and this will be over when the election is over. You know, we heard that so many times, and we really had customers say the most outrageously, you know, like, just reckless statements, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, if that's how you want to go around, fine, but, you know, we know the mask works. You know, it's, I don't know what more evidence you need. Right. You know, and I don't feel that wearing it is like restricting my freedom in some way. It's, you know, I didn't understand it, any of that kind of thought. But yeah, I just absolutely reckless things that, you know, people would say to us. And then the one person was like, you guys really went over the top with the safety precautions. And I was like, well, we don't have very good insurance, so we can't afford to get sick. Let's be practical about what you're saying.
There's never anything, you can't ever be too safe or too precautious. I mean, especially in a restaurant where you're feeding people, like,
and I would never go into another business and say that. If I go into a business, I'm like, what are your rules? And I'll follow right. them. You know, I don't care. I don't know what it is. You know, we used to go to the German restaurant that closed, and they didn't want you to have your cell phone out, you know. So it's like, that's their rule. Put your cell phone away and eat your dinner. Like,
actually talk to people.
Yeah, actually talk to people. You know, it's just like, I don't know. It's not a big deal. You know, it's like, I don't know what people think, but it was just that kind of stuff. I think bothered me the most, and I don't know if I mean, I already knew how people were, so it
this
wasn't,
just brought it.
Yeah, it wasn't really learning anything new. It just kind of
solidified.
Like, yeah, and it was, you know, at this, you know, also too with all the racial justice stuff going on at the same time as the pandemic, you know, that puts so many things into perspective, and you're just like, but the same, you know, those same people that were fighting the pandemic, you know, don't believe in racial justice either. So, I mean, I don't know what that says about them. It goes hand in hand though. But I mean, I didn't see very many people that weren't on that side of the coin either. You know, you didn't believe it was even happening. Like, you don't. How do you even reason with people that don't think that a million people died?
You can't reason with them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had I need this repairman. He's the only repairman that can repair my oven, and you know, they're like, they're exaggerating things. And I thought, what if my parents had died because of COVID? You're sitting here telling me.
What if you
had
lost a family member? You know, yeah. What?
Even you know, I'm glad you all didn't lose anyone, but, you know, maybe I did.
Other people have.
And actually, we did lose a friend.
It's been very traumatic for a lot of people.
And they, you know, she was doing okay, but she had all these chronic illnesses, and they essentially just sent her home to die. You know, that's not. Yeah.
So, what, if anything, do you hope will continue when the pandemic's over? Like, when we're officially over. Here we are in July of 2022, and we're still seeing new variants come out. So once this is all over with, what do you hope continues?
I thought there was a lot of things that came out of the pandemic that were just, like, kind of, like, genius, you know, like people adapted, like the drive-in concerts, and we went to the drive-in Shakespeare, and you know, we did the drive-through lights, and I kind of liked all that stuff, how they adapted, and you know, I'd like to see some of that. I guess those things stay around, even though they were a little bit, you know, people, I guess, wanted everything to be exactly the same, and I didn't. I thought, like, you know, I liked the, you know, I liked being outside more, you know. I like, you know, having picnics. You know, we would go get our food at the deli and go and eat in the park, you know.
Just kind of like back to simpler times.
Where oh, yeah, and that, all that, like, the just kind of slowing everything down. I just thought all of that And, like, my life really never changed because I still went to work every day, you know what I mean? So, I didn't experience that. I even heard somebody say earlier this year, like, we're finally coming out, you know, quarantine. I'm all like, everybody's been out of quarantine since June. What are you talking about? Like, you guys have still been in your house this whole time?
Well, I think that's people crazy. Who were extroverts who were out all the time had a harder time because me, I'm an introvert. I had no problems. I was like, I can still go for my walks in nature every day. Nothing really changed. Yeah, me too.
You know, and I did plants. I was like, all the nurseries were still open and no one was there. So, I mean, I was all like, I was shopping for plants the whole pandemic, you know, and I thought, you know, people were like, that's irresponsible. I was like, well, I'm wearing my mask and keeping my hands
clean. Nobody's here.
And there's no one here. So, and then, you know, or I got, you know, a bunch of stuff on Marketplace and that, you know, bought a croquet set and just stupid stuff, you know. I don't want to say I enjoyed the pandemic, but
with a bad situation. Yeah, you made the best of it.
I wasn't, but I'm that sort of person. I'm a, you know, bright side sort of person because I would go, well, it's a pandemic, but at least we can still, you know, do this and do that.
Yeah, outside wasn't closed. That's what I kept telling people. You can still go outside. I don't like outside.
Well, sorry.
I'm sorry. Maybe try something new.
And I mean, I like being at my house. It's where all my stuff is at. Like, I had no problem with any of that. But again, like, we didn't live in New York City in a small apartment. You know, we have a yard and, you know, so I understand that, you know, that was hard for people because I do know people that live in the city and
that would be rough. Different. Yeah. You know? We take it for granted that, you know, we live in Southern Indiana and we have outside. Yeah. We have lots of outside.
But even in the city, you know, there's plenty of outside. There's plenty of outside spaces. And I know a lot of places were more restrictive than we were because we were basically never closed. You know, we tried it for 2 weeks and that wasn't good for Indiana. So they just went business as usual. Mm-hmm. So I just liked all the way people adapted to things. And then also too, like, you know, artists would do like online and teachers would read, you know, to the kids. I just loved all that stuff.
Well, it just shows that we can adapt when we need to.
Yeah.
I mean, some things that have changed, like I don't want to go back to certain things. I like having like virtual options for conferences, for meetings,
so Zoom
that way
stuff.
I can attend stuff that I wouldn't be able to attend.
Right. And we already kind of did this already, like streaming, like concerts and things like that. My friends and I, I don't really have friends in the area. I have friends all over, but we started a chat in our messenger, and that went on for, till, you know, I just chatted in it, you know, a couple days ago. You know, we still share stuff in it, not as much as we did, but, you know, that little group on that little chat got us through a lot, you know, all of us. And we also ended up having like a Christmas party, like through our, you know, because of that. Like our favorite band was doing, again, adapting. Since they couldn't play concerts, they were doing DJ parties. So we had a Christmas party with one member of the band
It was so fun.
And so, I mean, just like, and we won't do that ever again.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we got to do it that time. And so it's stuff like that. I feel like, you know, it definitely got us through. And and we did yoga too. I mean, all the stuff that we did, it was so.
All of a sudden people thought they could never do not in person. We did. We adapted to lots of things.
Yeah, and it was really good. Like, all of that stuff that we did really did help, and, you know, and it made things better. And since we couldn't see each other, that, you know.
It was like a lifeline, a support system.
Yeah.
So, what do you want people to remember in the future, let's say 50, 100 years from now, about the pandemic? Like, someone listening to this in the future, what do you want them to take away from it?
That it was handled very poorly, but by everyone across the world, from the very top, from the very beginning, I blame everyone. I blame all the leaders. A terrible, terrible job done by everyone. The only people that were on top of the game were the scientists, because they had already been working on this. They knew that this was coming. And they were the only ones that prepared for it, and I feel like people fought them every step of the way. And it is science. It isn't foolproof. It isn't a cure-all, but it saved a lot of people, and it's going to continue to save a lot of people. And I know, like, I have my very good friend I was just with, she doesn't really believe in vaccines and all that stuff. You know, science, you know, but it's, you can't, you know, it doesn't care what you believe, you know, science doesn't care what you believe. And I just, that to me is, I mean, and that people fought them, like your local health official and all of that stuff, was really unbelievable to me. And it wasn't just here, you know, it was worldwide, mm-hmm. that people were like you're telling us what to do. And I was like, they tell you what to do all the time. You can't drive your car without tags. Like, what are you talking about? And then all the My Body, My Choice stuff, I was like, about this and about this, but about nothing else. Nobody else has autonomy over their bodies, but you want to have it because you don't want to wear a mask or get a shot. So that to me, I just think that no one did a good job except for New Zealand.
They were the
poster
country for what we should have done.
Yeah. But, and I think that even Thailand ended up falling off the when they opened up, and it's a virus and it doesn't care.
It doesn't care who you are, how much money you have, where you are.
No.
It's a virus. It doesn't think.
All it wants to do is grow and change and host. Get in something and grow and change and be more powerful. I like that you don't understand that. Like, you really are fighting an enemy. And no one wanted to be on the same side to do that. And that blows my mind. Like, because I really thought in my nostalgic World War II brain that we would all rally together, that we would hunker down, that we would grow our gardens, you know, that we would step up and really we did not.
Quite the opposite.
And I don't think that even if it hadn't been like for the person that was president, I don't say his name, so
it's fine.
the person that was president, even if it hadn't been him, I don't think that people would have rallied together. I don't think that there was any one leader for us as a country, because we're so broken, that could have united us and rallied us to be, there's too much pushback.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything else you'd like to tell us?
No, I think that this has just been... I never saw this coming. Like, there was so many, like, I'm a person that has a bug out bag. I didn't need anything in that bag. And that's what I've always been preparing mm-hmm. for, you know, to have to get that bag and go somewhere, you know.
Go hide in the woods for a while.
Yeah. Go hunker down. Like, we had a plan, you know, we have a plan. We didn't have a plan for this.
Right.
And I never saw it coming. I mean, I think we did great. I mean, we lived. We
made considering, right.
But, yeah, this was not what I was preparing for.
Well, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.